go. Trust Frank coming up with a song that dovetails nicely with the topic that we're going to be chatting about, because we are going to talk a little bit about snowbirds in this next segment. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Tuesday morning. So every winter, thousands of Canadian snowbirds pack up, head south to escape the cold. This year, though, it's been interesting. You think about the people that have called into the program, and we've got a number of people that while they winter south of the border, still regularly spend their morning with us, or at least part of their morning. Like John from White City, who's in Mesa before his pickleball game, will often call in and weigh in on whatever we're talking about. But what has been very interesting is going across the border has been different for a lot of different people. And there's been lots of reports on this. Things have changed. There's been some administrative changes that have come down from the U.S. government saying, okay, we are, in terms of trying to find and add security and safety to our country, we are going to be a little bit more strict when it comes to border crossings. And so snowbirds are reporting, some anyway, that they had to provide fingerprints and photographs and even a $30 fee to get into the country, but others were waved through without any extra screening. So it seems to be a bit inconsistent, and some people are confused about that. What is the process? What are the rules? How is it that they're being applied differently? So we're going to check in with a few different guests over the next little while, because this is the time of year people are starting to think about or pack up their vehicle and make that trek south. Today we are checking in with Lori Trotman. Lori is the director of the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University, and I'm glad to have Lori joining us by phone. Lori, thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Evan.
So you just heard me kind of lay this out. We have people that regularly will call or text into our program who are also headed south for a warmer climate in the winter. But boy, we are hearing about, I think I would just best call it inconsistencies of what they're experiencing at the border. Is that a surprise to you?
Well, it's a confusing time. There's a lot of executive orders coming out. There's a lot of changes, of course, not just at the U.S. sort of border environment, but in other regards. So I think it's a really evolving policy landscape. And anytime you have over 100 land ports of entry between the U.S. and Canada, it's not surprising to me that there's some changes in how those new policies are enforced. We've seen over the years that different regions tend to sort of have different cultures when it comes to enforcing different policies. A classic case is where you might want to get a certain, say, work authorization adjudicated. There's sort of places that are known to be better to do that than others in terms of certain border crossings. So there's always been a fair amount of discretion at the border, and I'm sure many of your listeners have experienced that. I've, of course, experienced it myself. I think the challenge is now we're also facing this kind of evolving policy landscape. So I think there's confusion for travelers, but frankly, I think there's also a little bit of confusion for those enforcing the rules as well.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Lori, about the discrepancies, because I have crossed the border in a border crossing in Saskatchewan, but I've also crossed the border between Windsor and Detroit. And, you know, significant difference in terms of volume, mm-hmm. in terms of vehicles. And I wondered if that could play into it. And there still is some discretion there for people that are working on the border. And I'm assuming that plays into it as well.
Absolutely. I think a good analogy might be the experience with TSA in U.S. airports. And it may be the same in Canadian airports with CATSA, where, you know, you'll go to one airport and you'll be told to do one thing as you're going through security. And then you go to another airport and you say, well, I didn't have to do this the last time I was going through security in a different airport. So, you know, the rules are the rules, but that doesn't mean that they're applied consistently in time and place.
Lori Trotman is my guest, the director of the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. So it's one thing to say, okay, the policy is maybe being applied a bit differently, or there's, you know, that discretion that lies there for the officers that are working at the border. But what is the current policy? Are you able to pin that down for us for Canadians when it comes to crossing the border?
Well, I wish I could give your listeners a very black and white answer, but they might have to go to an attorney for that, because it is a bit confusing, even to myself as somebody who has sort of made a career out of understanding the Canada U.S. border. And maybe I'll just say there's this sort of backstory here. So the U.S. has our Immigration and Nationality Act, been around for a very long time, that had required registration by, they use the term aliens, I prefer to say foreigners, who are arriving in the United States. And a lot of times that information has been collected if you're somebody who's applied for a visa. Obviously, Canadians don't tend to need visas unless perhaps you're working in the United States. And then you would have submitted that information that would count as your kind of registration or your record of entry. If you've flown from Canada to the United States, you have also provided a record of entry because your airline provided that information to the U.S. government. So there's many different ways over the years that this requirement has been enforced, but typically Canadians have been exempted from this requirement to register entry. In January, the Trump administration issued an executive order that expanded that that mechanism and essentially directed the Department of Homeland Security to actually enforce some of these requirements that had been on the books for many decades. So as a result, I think over the years, you had some ports of entry or some border crossings that have been collecting this information, especially from non-Canadian citizens. And many Canadians also have already sort of had a record of entry, even if they didn't know because the airline did it on their behalf. So the changes that we're seeing is this more recent executive order that has kind of brought these Canadian snowbirds under this requirement. And there's also a final ruling by the U.S. government that was made just last month that will go into effect next month that fully authorizes the collection of biometric information from all non-U.S. citizens. So that would be things like fingerprinting. Now, what's not clear to me is if this authorization is actually a requirement or simply an authorization to do this data collection. So that may be why we're seeing some Canadians at certain ports of entry being asked for their fingerprints or to have their fingerprints collected, and others not. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a little bit fuzzy to me, but I think that this will become more clear as we are approaching this December 26th implementation of this final rule.
And part of it is information. My understanding is, especially for people that are spending, my understanding is the threshold is more than 30 days in the United States. There's some pre-forms that need to be filled out. You can prepare yourself. Shorter term trips, it's literally something that you will just deal with when you get to the border. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is that entry of record that is required now for all Canadians who are visiting the U.S. for more than 30 days. This technically called an I-90 form, I-94 admission. So if you were a non-U.S. or non-Canadian citizen living in Canada, this is something that you would have been doing every time, not every time you cross the border, but every couple of years. They've extended the timeline on that. So this is something that is basically your entry of record. And again, if you're flying to the U.S., which I realize many Canadian snowbirds may not be, this is done on your behalf by the airline. But this is a pretty simple process. You can go online and you can do this I-94 form either through the U.S. CBP Home app or online. You can also do it through U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. There's a cost associated with it, but it's a pretty simple process. I think the thing that may be tripping up travelers is when they get to the border, even if they have filled this out in advance, which you can check online if you have done it and if it's been approved, is this extra step around the potential to be fingerprinted.
Mm-hmm. Lori Trotman is my guest, director of the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. Just a couple more things while I've got you. I'm curious, Lori, you submerge yourself in this work and understand travel policy and patterns. Are you still seeing, we hear reports that there's a significant difference between the number of Canadian travelers that are making the trek into the United States. Is that something that you still see in the work that you do?
Yes. So I based in the region between British Columbia and Washington State. We see our U.S. Our entries into the U.S. from Canada have dropped around 35% to 40% compared to the year before. So that's a really significant number for us here. We rely on Canadians for a lot of our tourism, a lot of our economic businesses cater to Canadians. So different regions, again, I've seen different drops. I know Detroit-Windsor is not quite as significant a drop. I think it's closer to 10%. But overall, yes, the number of Canadians traveling to the U.S. compared to the same time last year is significantly declined. And it will be interesting to see if what happens with the snowbird season.
Mm-hmm. Lori, I'm always hesitant to ask experts like yourself a crystal ball question, but I'm going to ask you one. Do you see this policy as it becomes more understood, whether it be the executive order or just the practice of enforcing the policy at the border? Do you see it continuing? Is this something that will maybe drop off at some point, or will we see it much like we see with air travel? It just becomes much more streamlined. It's less of a hindrance to travelers and something that happens much more efficiently. Where do you see this playing out?
I think it's the latter. I think this requirement for biometry entry, whether it's fingerprints or it's facial verification, it will take different forms as the technology evolves. This is something that the U.S. has been exploring for 20 years and sort of implementing in certain ways. So I think this is a longer-term trajectory, and I would say not just for the United States, but Canada Border Services Agency is also looking at more streamlined entry processing, and much of that involves travelers submitting information in advance, whether that's, you know, your general passport information or that's having this entry of record. I think we are moving to an environment where that type of security that happens kind of away from the border is going to become more and more common, because it does provide a lot of security benefits and it also provides a lot of efficiency benefits as well. And, you know, much like the evolving landscape with security in airports, it's likely to cause some confusion and some delay, but we do sort of adapt to it over time.
Lori, I appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks for the check-in.
Yeah, anytime. My pleasure.
Lori Trotman, Director of Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. It's interesting to me the steps towards the use of biometrics when crossing the border. And we see it already. It's happening in airports, facial recognition in some cases to correspond that you are the person whose picture is on the passport that you possess. That is happening more and more just to get through a gate at the airport. But the notion of pictures and fingerprints at a border crossing that you're driving across, does that deter you? Is that something that would cause you to say, you know what, if that's the case, forget it, I'm not going? Or is it just kind of another bump in the road and that comes with travel in 2025, 2026? 1-877-332-8255. Curious to know your thoughts on that. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.